Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Cook and Joe Show. Jim Colony making his exit. He's a brand new Christmas CD from a man that none of us know. Cookie, you were at the game last night. How are you, first of all?
I'm great. Unfortunately, I was at the game last night. It was a pretty awful second period to watch and another very disheartening Penguins loss. You know, every single time you think they're turning the corner and getting some traction, as these coaches like to say, they just slip and fall. And last night you're up 2-0 again, and they just, after one period, you think they're going to cruise. They look great. They're dominating. And then all of a sudden they fall apart in the second period. Hard to explain, Joe.
Well, unbeknownst to you, they cut to the press box during the Carter Rowney tribute, and you were sobbing, Ron, at that point. did it touch you that deeply?
You know what? There was no Daniel Sprong tribute.
No, there wasn't.
I think the rule is you have to be a Stanley Cup champion to get a tribute, and that's how Rowney's was. You know, basically had him scoring a couple goals, and he did, and then had him lifting the trophy, and then it just said
he was a good guy.
Congratulations,
and a good
Stanley Cup champion, okay. Carter Rowney.
Yeah, that was nice. But no Sprong video, but Sprong did have a shot that led to a goal. So I have many thoughts on the game, Ron, and we can bat this around for a while, and you can join us at 412-928-9370. The Ben Roethlisberger Show, number one Cochran Ben Roethlisberger Show at 11, Mike Tomlin's news conference at noon. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. And you can text us on the Egger Steiner & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Egger Steiner & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I think they missed Horny last night. I think that was a game where it jumped off the page to me. You have Kessler running around, you know, putting people in headlocks and things like that. A game without a ton of emotion against two teams that hardly ever see each other. And it felt to me like a game where Hornquist could have made a difference, Ron. That his absence to me, unlike some other games, was felt last night. You agree?
I don't think there's any. I think they miss him every time he doesn't play. But last night, maybe more so. It was just. I don't know. They came out quick. I mean, I thought, you know, neither team had a shot for like the first 6 minutes of the game. But the Penguins, you know, got a power play goal from Malkin. Rust had a nice pass from Sid and beat John Gibson short side. And it's 2-0, and they're rolling into the period. Great save at the end. Richie by DeSmitty last night, and he made some nice saves. And then all of a sudden they take two penalties. The first shift of the second period. They get a penalty on Aston Reese, a hook, 13 seconds in. Anaheim turns it into a power play. Then Sid takes one. Now, they don't score on that one, but they score soon after, a bad giveaway from Gensel. And then they get a goal laid off of a faceoff win. It was just a big-time goal off the faceoff. Down 3-2. Sully talked about it afterwards. You know, he said, you have momentum. You can't take penalties like that and lose the momentum right out of the box.
Yeah, and he benched Gensel for a while. I guess big picture, though, Ron, big picture, even though the Penguins, I don't think they've had a winning streak of more than two games since October.
Since the trip, I think, to Canada, right?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it, and I look at this homestand almost like a baseball homestand. They're not playing with Hornquist right now. They're still 5-2-1 in their last eight, which is a pretty good pace. I think it's a 110-point pace, and I know it's easy to sort of cherry-pick segments of games. And then they come home and they take 2 out of 3, which to me, I'm all right with that. I'm not all right with blowing leads, but in today's NHL, that happens from time to time. And Anaheim was banged up. That's the other issue here, but they're still at least as good as the Penguins
right
now.
They won 9 out of 10 now. They've been very good. I don't know, Joe. I guess I can look at it that way, too. But this is trend of blowing these leads at home is just hard for me to grasp. And, you know, if they'd have come out and played a good game last night and lost 2-1, I probably would have agreed with you more. But I see them go up 2-0 and then just totally fall asleep. That's hard for me to accept, and I think it's hard for Mike Sullivan to accept, too.
Apparently, especially the pass by Gensel. But I always remember, Ron, I try to remember, there's two teams on the ice. Did the Penguins fall asleep? I mean, were the Ducks asleep at the beginning of the game then, or were the Penguins playing well?
Probably a little bit of both, maybe.
And then they're good, and they took over, and then the Penguins started throwing the puck around. So, yeah, it's on both teams. I get it. But I'm not let me ask you this. Are you alarmed by where the Penguins are at right now?
Of course not. Of course not alarmed. That doesn't mean I didn't think it was a really disappointing loss last night at home. And now they got to go to D.C. tomorrow to play the Capitals, who are going really strong. And then they come back home for back-to-back Thursday night against Minnesota. No, I'm not panicking or anything like that, or not despairing where they are in the standings, but – again, this was another opportunity lost to pick up at least a point.
It was. And you refer, which other opportunities are you referring to where they didn't pick up a point?
I'd have Chicago? To look back on the schedule. I mean, yeah, that would have been a really nice one. But this seems like I believe the two previous games they won at home, weren't they up 2-0 and ended up tying it up?
They were, but to me in the end.
But they won, you know.
And they've picked up points now in, what, 6 of 8? Something like that. I don't know. They're sort of treading water in a way, but to me they're doing enough, especially without Hornquist, without Schultz. They've been going with their backup goalie virtually the whole year, and he surprisingly has done great. But when I look at the big picture, to be tied for the 8th spot, it still feels to me like a team that can take off at some point. Maybe some people disagree with that. Do you agree with that still, Ron? Do you still look at this as a team that you expect to take off in the second half?
I do. I think they care more. You know, once the calendar turns into January, I think they just have a hard time playing these games in October, November, December. Now, the danger of that is you fall so far behind, these points are hard to make up. You hear, you know, Sullivan and the coaches say all the time, points in October, November are just as important as the ones in March and April. But I don't know that a team that's won two cups necessarily buys that 100%.
412-928-9370. How about the decision to start DeSmitty in the first place? Would that have been yours?
No. I would have gone right back with Matt Murray, although, DeSmith has played well. I would have wanted Murray to get two of the starts in these three games in 4 days. I would have started him last night, then had maybe DeSmith play in Washington and then Murray play the game Thursday night against Minnesota. But I'm not outraged by it because DeSmith has played pretty good for him, really good for him, but I still think you need to get Murray going, and I thought he played well enough Saturday night to get another start right away.
Yeah, I was mildly surprised, although it's been my feeling all along here that DeSmith has earned the number one goalie job, honestly.
You've said that many times, even though you call him DeSmitty.
And yet, now he's lost two of his past three, so who do you start when you go into D.C.? I may be tempted to go back to Murray and see if he can follow up what I thought was a pretty good performance.
I don't think there's any question they go back to Murray tomorrow. I'd be shocked if they don't play him tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I would. And then you bring DeSmith back Thursday. They're not going to play. Each of those guys is going to get one game. I would go with Murray. I'd be surprised if he isn't, but I was surprised they didn't go to him last night.
Exactly. I mean, it seems at this point like he's wed to DeSmitty, but
as you point out about your number one guy you think is DeSmitty, he's going to get two of the three starts.
I hear that, but it just feels like Washington is a different kind of game, you know, like that's a gigantic game. But yes, they come right back the next night at home with Minnesota, so probably I would imagine that Sully will go with Murray. And what did you make of the benching
of Gensel?
Yep.
Just, you know, he's basically saying you're one of our stars, but you make dumb passes like that and turnovers, you're going to pay a little bit of a price. He went right back to him in the third period.
He did. To me, he's an easy guy to bench.
It wasn't like he sat him. We've seen him sit guys for, you know, if that had been Sprong, he'd have been chipped into the bench with a thumbtack or whatever. He went right back to him in the third period, though. I mean, we're going to hear from him.
But he said something after the game, right?
About the hammer. We're going to hear from him when he comes back, although he was asked specifically about Gensel and defended him and said he played hard like I knew he would. But he made a mistake. You know.
But an easy guy to bench, right, Ron? That's about as high as you get on the food chain before you say, I'm not benching. I can't bench Letang, Sid,
I mean, there's been
Malkin,
days I wish
he'd like
bent
that.
Malkin, for sure, the way he's been playing.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do that.
No. I think Gensel.
Although I think Gensel's one of his stars now, too. Maybe not on the same level, but certainly high up, as you said.
High up, but
chain.
Nobody's going to blink if you bench Jake Gensel.
I blinked
right?
last night. I was a little surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought Gino actually played well last night.
He had the goal, was which was still a power play goal, but
I thought he played well. You didn't?
I thought he was okay.
I thought he was jumping in the third period. He sent Aston Reese in on a breakaway. He set up Reese on another great opportunity.
Yeah, like
to me, he could have had a four-point night.
You'd like to see him, Aston Reese, bury those shots, wouldn't you?
You would.
Gibson had a nice game, though. He played very well.
Yeah,
after
he's good.
Giving up a couple. He's very good from Whitehall, the local kid.
Your thoughts on the Penguins right now? Any alarm? Are they any good, do you think? And what about the goalies? Does DeSmitty get another start in D.C. on Wednesday? 412-928-9370. We'll hear from Sully coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.